Here at Fruitland Baptist Church. This is a great time to praise and give glory to God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit today. We're thankful again for another day of His grace that's apparent to us today. And again, I hope you'll join together in a heartfelt time of praise and adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's stand this morning if you're able. And in our hymnals, it is number 52, or else it's on the screen for us. But we're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." And may this truly be from our hearts this morning. Welcome again to one and all this morning. Let's sing out. Here we go. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So lofty the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and open the life gate that all may come in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him standing as we praise the Lord and enter into His presence in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come today humbly and yet excitedly assembled before Your throne of grace and mercy. And we thank You today, Lord, again for all the great things and the mighty things and the wonderful things that we could never be done extolling about what You have done for us. But Lord, in particular, we thank You that when You adopted us into Your family, through the work of Your Son on the cross of Calvary, you did the most wonderful thing for mankind, that now, Lord, we can be in a personal walk with you. We can be freed from the penalty of sin and eventually the presence and the power. Amen. What a wonderful thing you did for us. And today, Lord, we love you and we praise your name for it. We thank you today, Lord, for all that have come out. And yet, maybe, Lord, for some that are yet en route, Lord, we know that today, as every day, the trials and tribulations of this cursed world are very apparent through illnesses, other situations, Lord. Maybe today there was a battle. Who knows, Lord, all the things you do, but we don't. But we know, Lord, there are needs, that we're deficient and needy people. And yet you've met all of our needs, Lord, and your work there on Calvary's cross. So, Lord, we have every reason to rejoice today and give thanks. And may that be the heartfelt desire of everyone that's gathered here today. We continue to pray for our community. And again, Lord, for those that are struggling today, that your hand of blessing and encouragement may be upon them this day. Now, Lord, may this time that we have together be found acceptable in your sight, and not only acceptable, but pleasing. And may it be edifying for the believers today. And Lord, will you never discount there might be someone today that needs you in our midst and maybe needs salvation. And so, Lord, we pray that today might be the day. And we're going to give this to you now for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us?
Encouragement this morning. As the choir goes down at this time, I'd like to welcome you once again and let you know that we're always glad for everyone that comes through the doors. Trust you'll have a good experience here today at Fruitland. I want you to know that we're glad, again, for everyone that comes, as I said earlier. This morning, if you have a bulletin on the right-hand side, there are a few things that we need to go over here for the upcoming week and yet for this day. Tonight, of course, at 6 o'clock, the message title is The Dangers of Addictive Dalliances, and that does have two L's. That's misspelled, in case someone's going to tell me that this morning. But we're going to be talking about addictions tonight and what the Bible has to say, at least in part, about that. A very common thing in the human race. But women's Bible study on April 24th at 10 o'clock in the morning. Wilton Bible study this week, April 15th at 6 p.m. out at the Presbyterian Church in the basement. And a men's retreat meeting next Sunday afternoon at 4:30 here at the church. Also, some additional names that you'll see there. There will be a brief stand-up business meeting next Sunday morning, unless I don't hear anything from anyone again about bringing West Coast for a musical presentation on the 2nd of July, so we'll vote, Lord willing, next time. Also, a children's message for everyone in the last Sunday morning of the month here on the 25th. A deacon's meeting on the 22nd at 7 p.m., that's a Thursday. And then today at 5:45, just before the evening service, I'd like our missions committee to meet. That consists of the pastor, deacons, and Sunday school superintendent. It'll be a very brief meeting at that time. You'll see some thoughts for the week there. If you need some help deciphering the code, come and ask me. Are there any other things today that we need to have brought to our attention before we proceed? All right, seeing none. Well, how many of us maybe are feeling just a tad down today or something? Maybe, is it the rain or the dark days? I don't know what it is going on. I saw Kim at the dryer this morning when she fluffed my shirt. She had crossed eyes looking at the dots on this shirt, trying to see if she could come up with a meaning from those. I don't know if she did, but I know this. There's a purpose why we're here today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that purpose is, again, first of all, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, but also to be fed on his word, to rejoice together and sing praises to his name. So I hope you enjoy this morning our fellowship with the Lord and with one another. As you know, we don't pass a plate during the corona time here, and that may change in the future. But we also do know, though, that the Lord has specific directives for us when it comes to giving. And we don't legalistically preach that type of a thing here at Fruitland. But yet, before we do pray this morning for the offering and the gift and the giver, I want to have you consider what the book of Malachi says. And this is something that we ought to be aware of. We know now, Philippians 4:19, where the Lord through Paul's hand says, but I will supply all your needs through what? My riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God's very good to us. But he also tells us, and Malachi is one of those examples, he says to the Israelites, consider, have you robbed God? Well, let me just say this, everything's come from him. So today, as we are directed to give back to him, we also know that God promised the Israelites, if they give him his due, the windows of heaven would be open and the blessings would pour out. We've had a big rain, but let me also say God's blessed us immensely, hasn't he?
Amen.
Yeah. So this is a time when we can consider those things as we give back to him. So this morning we're going to pray for the gift and the giver, the offering, and then also for our hearts this morning as we turn toward our time in the word and worship continues here this morning, giving God the glory. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for this wonderful day. Lord, again, it's a day of your grace and mercy well bestowed and your patience, Lord, with mankind. I know this, Lord, that this day has a purpose. Every day does. You tell us in Ecclesiastes 3 that every day and every time has a purpose under heaven. And so we acknowledge today that you are Lord of all time and you are Lord of this world and of the whole universe. And today, Lord, is a good day for our knees to bow and our tongues to confess that you indeed are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Lord, as we also examine the basis of everything, all good things come from your hand. None of us here today is exempt from your goodness that you have given us. So, Lord, as we consider now, coupled with your word and our hearts, how we give back to you. I pray today you'd bless both the gift and the giver, and that these offerings would be found as a blessing to you and a furtherance to your kingdom. And also, Lord, as we take a little time here to focus on you, that our hearts would be in the right mode today, Lord, to give you your just honor that is fully due you. Now, Lord, I just pray you'll bless both the gift and the giver and our time today in the Word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Isn't that a wonderful knowledge that we have and a confidence that we are abiding under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're here today as one of his children? Well, Jeff Hendricks is tuning up here. Do you need me to stall a little bit, Jeff? We've had some practice on that this morning.
I think we're all right.
Thanks, Patsy, for stalling for us this morning. You know, that is so rare today that we were 5 minutes early getting over here as a choir. Usually it's we're 5 minutes late. But anyway, Jeff, thank you for... I assume this is a teaching.
Yes, and we haven't done one for a while because we had a few weeks we didn't do it, and we went through Easter. So got to be my turn. So it's not a new song, but this is a song from the 70s. It was a Larry Gatlin song called Help Me. And there's two verses. I'll go through it once. You can watch the words because the timing's a little tricky. And after we get through it, then we go back and we're all going to do it like we've been doing these teachings. Then we'll do it again in a couple weeks. And this is the first time I played guitar in a couple years, too, because of nerve damage, hand surgery, and all that. So we'll hope it works. Lord, help me. Lord, help me walk another mile, one more mile. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. With a humble heart, on bended knee, I'm begging you, please help me. Come down from your gold, then throw new me. To feel the touch of your tender hand. Remove the chains of darkness and let me see, Lord, let me see just where I fit into your master plan. Never thought I needed help before. Thought that I could do things by
sound. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. With a humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you, please help me. Okay, Barb makes it sound so pretty, doesn't she? It's wonderful. Okay, so now we're going to do it. Are the words right up there?
Yes, they are.
Okay, very good. Here we go. Lord, help me walk another mile, one more mile. I'm tired of walking all alone. Lord, help me smile another smile, just one more smile. On my own. Never thought I needed help before. Thought that I could do things by myself. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. Bended me, I'm begging you, please help me. Sounds good. Second verse. Come down from your golden throne to me, lowly me. I need to feel the touch of your tender hand. Remove chains of darkness, and let me see, Lord, let me see just where I fit into your master plan. Never thought I needed help before. Thought that I could do by myself. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. With a humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you, please help me. Repeat that last line. With a humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you, please help me.
Thank you. You did great. Thank you, Barb. Thanks, Barb. That's a wonderful, wonderful reminder, isn't it? And it's pretty much the truth, isn't it? Yeah, I know that's one of my most popular prayers is, Lord, help me. And I am in need all the time, but He is sufficient to meet my needs. And we thank the Lord for that sufficiency that He gives us. Well, it's good to be with everyone this morning again. As I said earlier, it is somewhat of a gloomy morning from the weather perspective, but hopefully our hearts are not in that same perspective. And don't ever turn down rain when we can get it. I listen, probably none of you listen to this, but I get up on Saturday mornings and listen to This Week in Agribusiness. And in case you ever wondered, he's a very good forecaster. His name is Greg Solier. It's on Channel 6. But, you know, most of our nation and in the areas that produce the wheat and the crops and so forth west of here are all hurting for water right now quite badly. So we are blessed. And I think we must have had around 3 inches. So the abundance, again, of God's gift of rain is very apparent this morning, and we're thankful for all of His blessings that He shed down upon us today. Well, this morning, the title of our message is, Are You Ready to Preach the Gospel in the Current Environment? And I'm not talking about the environment such as the weather climate and things like that. I'm talking about the social climate. And so we're going to examine that this morning, and I trust that you're excited about what day it is that God has placed us here to be alive. Jeff, you mentioned the 70s. I like the 70s. I still am kind of stuck in that. There's times I can sit down and think I'm back in those days, but we're not. We're in the 2020s, and there's been a lot of water run under the bridge since the 70s, but God is still good to us no matter what. But anyway, we're going to look into that this morning and investigate that. So let's pray together and welcome once again. We're glad for everyone that's here today. And we're missing a lot of people today, aren't we? I know we do have some sickness, some of the folks that I do know for sure, but we're glad for everyone that's here today. Let's pray together and we'll get down the road. Father, thanks once again. May that word be on our lips and our hearts all the time of thank you, because you have given us everything. And all things come from your good hand. So we thank you again, Lord, for that. We can never say it enough. And we want to praise your name today, as we've mentioned now several times. And I trust now, Lord, our hearts will be directed to the things that are on our plate here in the year 2021. And one of the things that you've commanded your people in the New Testament era, the church, is that we would be an effective force in our world to present your message of love to this world around us. And so today, Lord, I pray that we'll be not down and doom and gloom, but that we'll be excited about the day that you've given us, because we still have many advantages, Lord, even among a darker, growing perspective in our culture. So we look to you as that source of strength. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. And may we do your will, and may, Lord, again, we enjoy serving you from the bottom of our hearts. Now, Lord, I need your help, just like the song says here all the time, but I need it specifically today. You've given me a great privilege to bring forth your word, but there is also a great responsibility. And as you know, Lord, I'm never up to that task. It's only through the power of the Spirit and your help that your word has an effect on the hearers. It's not by what I do or don't do here, but it's your word. So, Lord, I pray today that you would help me through the power of the Spirit as the weak link in the chain, to bring what you have laid on my heart to bring to this flock today, and that you would prosper this flock today, Lord, and edify the saints. Build us up, Lord, for your service through the power of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. By the way, you have a handout, or you should have, in your bulletins today. And I better correct something before I forget this on your handouts. It's in point three this morning. Before we go there and you say, you're wrong on that, Pastor. But down at the bottom in point three, that would be Philippians 1, 27 through 30, not Colossians, okay? So I'll help you find your blanks, but like I always say, if we don't get started, we won't get done. And so we're going to start. So friends in Christ, in case you have been distracted somehow, Christianity, and specifically biblical Christianity, has been under attack for close to 2,000 years in various degrees, corresponding to the environment of the culture in any given time. Do you agree with me on that, folks? We hear the doom and gloomers today wringing their hands and saying things are really bad and they're getting worse. I don't disagree with that, specifically in the time that we live in many ways, but let me just tell you something, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our people have always been under attack throughout all time. God's true believers are always going to be the target of the attack of his adversary, Satan. And so, folks, the day that we operate in today, while things ebb and flow, that has been a constant, that we will face struggles, we will face battles. But let me just tell you something today, folks, God is up to the task. And he'll equip us to be up to the task as well, in that if we'll rely on him and do what he tells us. Well, I've read here a little bit, and a few of you have mentioned this to me, about some facts in our current environment, if you want to believe these polls, and I tend to believe them. But you know, the RNS, Religious News Service, under the Gallup polling agency, has done some polling in the year 2020, I believe it was. Yes, it was. And we found some things that are very interesting for some of us old codgers around here. You'll recall that, I better just go to my facts before I misstate something. But in 1999, 70% of U.S. population said that they had some kind of a connection with a church, a mosque, or a synagogue. Now understand, a couple of those things we know are not going to be teaching the truths of the Word of God, of the full Word of God. But let me also assure you, and I think Lonnie mentioned in the adult Sunday school class this morning, some places that call themselves churches are not preaching the truth of the unadulterated Word of God. Amen? So we have to be careful how we classify these things. But in general, in 1999, 70% of the U.S. population ascribed to those. And also, interestingly enough, since those polls began in 1937, give or take, through that time, it was around 73% that could make that type of a statement of the population of the United States. But, you know, the interesting thing about that is within a short period of time here, in 2020, that number is now around 47%. 47%. So it is very likely today that half of the people that we're going to encounter will say this. And what do I have? They have no preference. That's the term that's used. They are not interested in organized religion. Well, let me just remind you, we are not organized religion here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We are a Bible-believing, living New Testament church. Amen. We're not religious here. We are not dogmatic. We are not legalistic. We are Bible-teaching, God-relying people for our walk in the world. So if you look at those numbers, you would say what? Well, there's some relevance, some credence to those numbers. And we would even though Fruitland has been bucking that trend recently and growing, not at a massive proportion, but I want to tell you something, folks. Most churches today are doing well if they remain stagnant. Most churches today are losing. And I'm even talking the Bible-believing churches today, folks, like we would ascribe to be. So one thing today, we need to be fired up about that here at Fruitland. And it's like I mentioned to another person this week that I was visiting with about our area. We have a fertile area for the Lord. Not that all of them aren't, but we've got a community. We got 800 and some people right here in Fruitland. But when you multiply that to the places that we reach around here, we literally probably have 50,000 people that we have an influence or could have an influence on right here in the Muscatine County, Loayza County area. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? You know, the first pastorate that I had up at Corwith, up in northern Iowa, that was an area that was losing population. And it was closely tied to agriculture. There aren't people up there. There are some there to be reached. But it is not an easy area to work in, is it, Kim? Because it tends to be gray-headed, and it is losing population. Although I did see this recently, that Muscatine's losing population. Did any of you see that? It's because we don't have the good industry that we used to have that paid the good jobs. Some of us that have been around here a while know things have changed. And anyway, you know the thing here, but I better get back to my notes here. But the fact of the matter is, this is a religious poll, but it is applicable to most Bible-believing churches proportionately as well. People's persuasion at this time is not becoming more kind toward religion in general, but actually with Bible believers in particular. What I'm trying to say here, folks, is some of the things that are going on in our world today are not conducive, especially to Bible-believing Christians. So that means we do what? Pour cement walls that are reinforced? Lock ourselves into security? Buy a bunch of weapons? No, because the Bible says the weapons we have are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. I tell you what, folks, we need to grab a sword. Amen. And I'm not talking about the one that you carry in a sheath. I'm talking about God's Word. And we need to be out there. We'll illustrate that today. I got to keep going or we're going to be in trouble. Kim's got a wonderful lunch in the oven. Did I hear you right? Ham with strawberry glaze? Plum glaze. Very close, very close. When we get there. So we better get going, right? But the fact of the matter is, folks, of course, we all should be praying for revival and that it comes to pass. And by the way, no revival in history has happened without prayer devoutly preceding it. That's something to remember there. It will not happen if it is not preceded by prayer and preaching of the gospel to the current environment. And so there again, as you already have picked up, I am not negative about any of this today, but believers and local churches must get engaged. You remember if you're here today and married to your spouse, how it was when you got engaged. It meant that you got down the road towards a relationship. And, you know, it's the same thing with the Lord. If we don't get engaged fully with the Lord, we'll miss the blessings. And let me tell you, there's still blessings to be had in the day that we live. Amen to that? Let me know if you're excited too in this current environment. Our environment today is increasingly filled, though, with anti-God of the Bible philosophy combined with an edge. And what I mean by that, there is a desire to do away with us and to push us into the back burner and to silence us or make us compliant. And let me tell you, folks, it has to deal with the Marxist and socialist doctrines. And they are anti-God. Communism, socialism, all the rest of these things that are being presented today as an attractive alternative to what we have here in our republic that is constitutionally guaranteed for freedom of religion, folks, are the enemies of God. And it's all been tried before. None of this is new. You know, and we'll hear more about that. You've heard it from me in the past. Those are the times you fell asleep when I talked about the Communist Manifesto. But listen to me, Christians and American citizens, this stuff should not be swept under the rug. Because we need to know what's going on today, right in our midst. Anyway, the removal of the Bible and God's ways, it's their desire to have those wiped from the face of our nation and our current environment. Let me just say this, and you know I don't preach politics here. I preach the Word of God. But the Word of God governs politics. And so those are decisions all of us have to make in that sense. But I've said now for a week, there's a letter back on the bulletin board from Dr. Jim Tillotson up at Faith, my alma mater. And it talks about the Equality Act, folks. And let me just say this. I'm just going to stay to my notes. It was passed by our House of Representatives out there in Washington, D.C. on the 25th of February, and it's now in the Senate. It was in the House, House Resolution 5 of the 117th Congress, so H.R. 5. And it will place biblical Christianity in a precarious position, exposed to destruction. And what this is all about in totality is over gender and homosexuality. And the Bible speaks clearly about both of those things. And we don't hate people that are struggling, but the Bible does delineate what sin is. And folks, it ought not be a part of our lives or a persuasion that we're involved in. And certainly not as a nation. But my friends, what will happen if those bills pass and they are signed by the president is you will soon see the organized churches under attack like none other. Because they'll be destroyed through discrimination lawsuits. And we'll either have a choice to make. Are we going to stand and continue to stand for the Lord and trust Him in the spirit of Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than man? Or are we going to fold up and cower down and change? By the way, God doesn't change. We're not going to be able to change His word. I'm not going to be able to. We're going to be faced with those decisions. And let me just say this. I'm not a doom and gloomer, but you may be living in the last days of the organized church in the United States of America. Am I all upset about that? No, not really. But let me just say this, if you appreciate what we've historically had in churches like Fruitland Baptist, enjoy what you've got today, because it may be soon that we'll be meeting underground or in home churches. These are all things that are on the horizon with the things that are coming down in our nation. So, am I doom and gloom about that? As long as Kim keeps cooking good meals and we have home church, it's less of a trip, right? But we need to take this very seriously, because these things are there. You know, this is publicly broadcast this morning. But like I've said before, I've already started my jail ministry. But don't take that flippantly. We may pay a heavy price, because our forefathers in the faith have, when you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, back to my notes. Well, I basically said everything, but it'll be just like in China and in Russia in 1917. I've got some good books circulating around. For those that have them, get them read and pass them on. Or ask me about it. I'd be glad to introduce those to you. But take a look at Dr. Tillotson's letter. This isn't just Crazy John expounding on these things this morning. There are a few others also that are aware of what's going on. So, none of this is anything new. So we don't get down, we get up. Most of the time throughout history, the environment has not been favorable, like I said, to biblical Christianity. Today, Paul's challenge and encouragement to a similar environment of the Roman church in the first century, and what to key on to see souls saved and be effective as witnesses for Jesus. So we're going to operate off of our sheet here, and I'm just going to preach cold turkey the best I can. But talk to me a little bit about the Roman church. Was it a great big building, thousands of members, a mega church? Well, we kind of think that sometimes because we're thinking in the dimensions of what the church is like today in many places. But it wasn't like that. It was more like the house church. It was the loosely connected family of believers there in Rome. And what was the governmental climate, the political climate in Rome back in those days? Was it conducive? Did they have all the... They had some freedoms. Some of our freedoms actually can be traced back to the Roman Empire. But it was not. Let me tell you, folks, they had made sport out of killing Christians. You went to the Colosseum to be the spectators as people were killed by lions, burned at the stake, you name it, any kind of sport. And let me tell you something, folks, this is not anything new in history. Think about it. The first martyr of the church was a guy named who?
Stephen.
He was stoned by religion, by people that should have known the Old Testament here. And we never should be surprised at what might happen. But the church at Rome had similarities. But I'll tell you something that I've always said to Fruitland. We don't need to be a mega church. We just need to be a mighty church. And that's what the people in Rome, the believers in Rome, were like. And Paul, of course, had some things to say to him. So that's the basis of our text today to begin with, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Also, I have a definition here. You may not like it. If you don't, go to your phone. Oh, by the way, if you have your device or your paper Bible, you're surely welcome to follow along. And if you need one, put up your hand. Someone will get you a Bible. We still give them away here at Fruitland for free. Amazing. I'm going to give you a definition about the gospel because I'm going to be using that term today. Classically, it's defined as the good news. But there's more to it than that. I'm not going to go into that definition, but I'm going to give you the basics here that are mine. At least I don't think I've plagiarized. If I have, let me know. I'll make it right with them. But so happens I only have change in my pocket today. But the gospel definition, the good news of God's love for sinful man proven in Christ's death and resurrection. In a nutshell, Crazy John's definition, okay? There it is. So let's get started here this morning. First of all, you've already heard from me. I'm not doom and gloom. I'm pretty positive, really, because we still have many positives working in our favor. Okay? So let's begin here. And this point one is the positives of our current environment. Number one, let me just say this, as Paul will allude to here in a minute. If you've been called to salvation by Jesus Christ, that's a positive. Amen? We're not out here floating around. We're here with a purpose because we were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a reason to exist, and we have the program. If I wanted to alliterate that with all P's, he's given us the program. We're not out here saying, oh, whoa, which way do we go? God gave us clear directives about what to do. So here's the first thing here this morning in verses 1 through 6 of the book of Romans. Paul, by the way, Paul's name means what? Little, small. Paul was a short guy. What do they call that? Napoleon syndrome? I'm not saying that Paul had that at all, but I'm going to tell you, I'll get to you in just a second, Al, but I'll tell you one thing about Paul. He wasn't afraid. He was afraid, but he wasn't afraid because he went in the power and might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Al, real quick, and then we got to go because we're running out of time. Who?
Little man syndrome.
Yeah, that's the same. Napoleon, the great French general, was thought to be, well, he was known to be short. So that's another thing. By the way, I'm really in favor of shorter people. Well, there's a lot of positives. Less wind resistance. Shorter distance to fall when you take a fall. You can go right on down the line. You could just not listen to the message thinking about all those advantages this morning, right? Huh? Yeah. And like I always said in wrestling, you never worry about the big oafs. you worry about the short, small guys because they are going to be quick. And they're going to be around your legs and have you down before you can react. Amen? Paul, his name meant little, but feisty. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. See, I could preach on one verse here this morning. But notice here, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Let me tell you something about Paul, folks, and what you'll find in his writings. He was all in. He was not the nominal person that woke up on the day that the church gathered and said, well, I don't know. Should I go? Should I? Let me tell you, Paul was there. And he was excited about what was going on, even though his life was on the line every day. We talked this morning in junior, senior high class about murder. Isn't it interesting? Here again, I got to not get sidetracked. I asked the kids in there, the young folks in there this morning, what's one of the most dynamic things that is a horrendous thing that happens in our world? Every one of them said murder. We looked at Cain and Abel and what all took place. Paul, and by the way, Cain was marked, you remember. He had to watch every place he went. He couldn't sleep at night because there were people that wanted to take him out. Let me tell you, Paul operated under that kind of environment, but he didn't operate under the curse of God. He operated under the blessing of God, and he got a long way. We don't know biblically how it all ended for Paul, but we believe he was probably killed in Spain. You know, that's secular accounts for his faith. But Paul went out there. It didn't stop him, did it? It encouraged him. Anyway, he was called. He was separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised for by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Here's your blank about Paul. Well, let me go through six. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's how you know that Jesus is who he is, that he was God. He was fully man but fully God, but he defied death in the resurrection. The prototype, we learned about that last week. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ. Paul says, believers at Rome, this is no accident. You're here because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is potent power. Now here's the blanks here. Paul had this, and this is what's a positive for us, a life devoted to the defense of the gospel. Folks, you all know me well enough, and I've told you that over all these years. I know what God called me to do, among many things, but God did not necessarily call me to be specifically an evangelist or a soul winner, things like that, even though that's a part of my makeup. But you tell me what God called me to do. He called me to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that through the years, that's what he's called me to do, to preach and defend his word. The word for that in the Greek is the word apologia, where we get the word apologize or apologetics. So I'm not standing up here to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry you wrote your word. I apologize. No, I'm standing up here today saying it's solid stuff, and I believe it. And it cannot be refuted. And it's powerful, you know, dunamis, again, dynamite. So let me tell you something, folks. Even though we may not all be specifically geared to be defenders of the faith, we all can have a part in that, and we can be used in the position that God called us, and that's what he did with Paul. That's what he did with Paul, and he's done that for everyone in this room that knows Christ as your Savior today. Amen? Amen. You are not here floating in vacuum. God has a purpose for you. Now we got to move on here. You get that though, right? Now, the second thing is found in verses 7 through 10. Paul says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He goes on with this. He says, by the way, saints just means separated unto God. And Paul already told you that. He says, I'm on your side, Lord, and I'm going to stay on your side. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I could preach there again a whole text on that. God's grace is apparent among us today, and his peace. Some people, are you worried about that? Yeah, well, I have concerns. I think about my children, my grandchildren. I think of young folks here. I think of older folks that don't know things about the Lord. But yet I have peace. that the Lord will operate in these things in a way that is right. Because he can't do it any other way. He's righteous. He is always right. He's got it handled, folks. But that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to do what we need to do as well. Anyway, but notice what Paul says here. Verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Paul was Southern. Maybe Southern Macedonia? No. For you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Let me go on here. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Here's why I think we have some positives yet in America. Because America, nominally yet today, even in our weakened condition, is still a potent powerhouse for the gospel. There's a lot of believers in America. Bible-believing Christians. Now, obviously, I can't number those, but what Paul was telling that small church there at Rome, by today's standards, he said, you've been heard of throughout the world. Why was that? Because even with all the negatives of the Roman Empire, there were positives, because the Roman Empire was the big kahuna. Everything revolved around Rome. See? And this influence caused Christianity to have a platform to work from. Folks, we have not lost our platform in the United States of America. America, until recently, was still number one in missions. That's reaching out to people. Yes, we've slipped. And let me tell you, we need to keep that as an emphasis, not only foreign missions, but home missions, evangelism. But we still have capabilities in America. Could anyone not afford breakfast this morning? Don't tell me. But if you couldn't, I'll share my toast with you. I've changed my diet. Excuse me. I'm a 3-slice toast, decaf coffee, and a half cup of cranberry juice breakfast person. But let me tell you something. We are very affluent in America today. Even people that claim to be poor are rich. And let me tell you something else. Matt, you just said it. If you are poor with the shekels in your pocket, but you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're rich. If you have his salvation. And here we are in America. Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. Yeah, it's headed that way. But let me tell you, we still have a lot of influence. Perk your heads up. Perk your heads up. You know something? So I didn't even tell you about this, and I probably shouldn't. Kim and I are protesters. Some of you knew this. But the day that we went up and marched up the courthouse here in town, we did it legally, by the way, some people noticed. We even had an unmarked police officer watching two elderly people walk around the courthouse with our picket signs. He even asked me, what are you guys doing here? He said, I never heard of some of these things. I said, well, the Bible tells about it. He had his eye opened that morning as to what was going on. But if we hunker down and we silence ourselves and we stop standing up for our constitutional rights that are ordained of God and we hide out, that's what we're going to end up with. You'll be a fugitive just like Cain. But we need to let people know what? We still trust God. Amen. Now, I'm not telling anyone to do anything. And you know Kim and I well enough. You never know what we might do. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of positives yet. Here's the blanks. The influence of our strengths. Let me tell you, the U.S. still has a lot of means. We have a lot of influence in the world. There's a lot of things that are still positive here, but they won't be if we let them slide. We need to get with the program, with the Lord in the forefront of all of it. Now point C. This is found in verses 11 through 13. We will get this all done. For I long to see you, Paul says, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. See, this is, Paul was teaching. He was the teacher. And there again, we know this nominally, that church there in Rome was probably somewhat weak. Because he says what? You need to get established. And they weren't. But even though they weren't maybe firmly established, they were on track, and they were operating, see. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but I was let hitherto, or I didn't get it done, Paul says, because things intervened, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Here's your last positive here in point one. It's the bond of mutual faith. We are not alone. When we begin to think we're the last ones and we're the only ones and this kind of thing, you're wrong, folks. You know, it's just like with Elijah. He got that idea and sat under the juniper tree. But God told him, get up and get to going, Elijah, because you're not the last one. And we aren't either. And we need to recognize that today. We need to be mutually engaged with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? We cannot go off and hide. We need to be engaged. Anyway, that's the bottom line there. We still have a lot of positives. This brings us to the second point now that we're almost out of time. Isn't that the way it goes here? Preparation. Preparation is the second point for our current environment. The first one was positives of our current environment. Preparation for our current environment. By the way, if we don't get done, we'll quit and come back, right? We okay with that? How much time does the ham have, Kim? A couple, three Sundays ago, we had a little burn on it, but it was still good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kim needs one of those devices that she can control the oven right here. That'll bring longer messages, better efficiency. Yeah. Okay, here it is. Paul, first of all, verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor. How can debt be positive? Well, I'm going to explain that to you. Debt is a motivator. I'm not talking about financial debt, even though financial debt is a motivator too, right? Because if you're in debt or I'm in debt this morning to the bank, they expect a what? And it's a great motivator, you know. What's that bumper sticker that was around years ago? I owe. So off to work I go. It's a good motivator, isn't it? Absolutely. Well, that's what Paul said, but he didn't mean that. He said this in effect. Even though when Jesus died for our sins, he said paid in full. Paul recognized, and we need to recognize this today, Jesus gave a lot for us. And he doesn't expect anything back necessarily in that way, but he wants our hearts to understand what he did and say, you know what? If he gave it all, I can at least give what? Something. I can do something for Jesus Christ. And that's where things get exciting. Again, we're in debt to the gospel, and our salvation is not selfish. It's about giving, because Christ gave it first to us. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul is basically saying here, when he uses that, the learned and the unlearned. The barbarians were the unlearned, the Greeks were the learned. You know what? We get all factioned off into people that we like to deal with, but let me encourage you this week to go out and deal with some people you don't like to deal with because you're a debtor to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said it himself. He says, love your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you. Isn't that what he said? That's the other problem we get into, folks. Our hearts are not right, see? They've got to have love toward people. And I'm up here telling you that I struggle with this too. You know, Kim and I have a lot of little talks in the car. Well, I won't go into that. Well, can I go into that, Kim? I better not. Well, you all wonder now, so. Kim told me the ladies' Bible study prayed for me yesterday. Thank you. Thank you. I said, have you told them the truth? And what'd you say, pretty lady? Oh, I listened. Yeah. You said you're not perfect. And I said, neither of us are. And we both agreed on that, didn't we? Yeah. But you said, I never tell them. But here's the key, folks. We need to understand what we're really like. And I tell you all the time, I'm not right.
and neither are you.
Amen.
We got to get off of this thing about us being okay and saying, I'm only okay because Jesus made me okay in front of him. We got to be concerned about other people. And that's what that meant there with Paul. The debt that he had of the Lord's message was a great motivator. That was verse 14. He reached out to all people. The second point that we find in verse 15, Paul says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. How many of you today here are ready? No, I'm not talking about ready for lunch, even though I fall in that category. Jason. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Not only that, but are we equipped? Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to have a PhD in theology. No, you don't. You need to have a burden for people and a love for the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what this morning, folks, because I'm talking about myself. I'm not prepared as I ought to be.
Amen.
And I'm not condemning anyone that didn't come today. I might not blame them if I was preaching. But the point is, there's people that said today, I don't need it. I don't need to listen to him for 40 minutes. I've heard it all before. Oh, you're probably 100% right on some of that. But let me just say something, folks. We need to be equipped and we need to be ready. And we need to be taking every advantage we can of gathering together and being involved in the word and prayer. But Paul said, I'm ready. I'm not going to say anything more except this. Are you and I ready to go out and tackle what's in front of us today? I'll let you answer that. Here it is. Readiness is your first blank. Readiness is an imperative and a burden of love, not anger for the lost. If you're angry today with the current environment, you ain't going to win people to Christ. You've got to have a burden out of love for them like Jesus did. Otherwise, what you do is mechanical. You may go out, you may think certain things, but it's not going to happen effectively. Now we're going to quit after the next point because we're out of time. Matt, real quick.
What was that second
point? Second item B is readiness is an imperative, a burden of love, not anger for the lost. Okay? Now, notice what Paul says. This is many of you have probably memorized this, verse 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, dunamis in the Greek, that word power, dynamite, the power of God. But you think Paul was fired up? I think he was. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. By the way, there it is. That's how we're saved, by believing, faith. No works, nothing else, by trusting God, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here's your blank. It is a shame to be ashamed of the gospel. My thought here this morning is there's probably many in this room today, and I don't know that, but you're looking at one of them. There's times I might be ashamed of the gospel. Because of the circumstances that are presented to me, that could be a time when I'd soft pedal the gospel. Because I don't want to what?
Offend anybody.
By the way, the word offend in the Greek means to cause to stumble. It doesn't mean to hurt their feelings with the truth, but always spoken in love, Ephesians 4:15. But I think that's probably the case with many of us today and in our environment. We're afraid. We're afraid of alienating a family member. We're afraid of doing all kinds of different things that might disrupt our, quote, fellowship. But let me remind you, a soul apart from Jesus Christ is going to be out of fellowship for eternity in hell.
Amen.
Here's your blanks. Well, I gave it to you already.
Yeah.
And then the last one I'm not going to preach on because you need to read it yourself. But these verses, 18 through 32, are a picture of our current day culture. And I can't tell you how many people come, "Pastor John, this is right out of today's paper." Yeah. But this was almost 2,000 years ago. And what is it? It's a different chapter of the same book. Now, I could go through this. I could make a real message out of this. Bible thumping. I could pound the pulpit even. You can look in there. Look at it, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness," or suppress the truth. We live in a day like that. Truth is not popular. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things from him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things," again, "that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You could preach a big message on all that. But here's the bottom line, folks. That's the current environment we live in. It's a delusional environment. The very first thing that Paul alludes to there is this debate between evolution and creation. And folks, there is no debate. I mean, there is debate, but there's not. If you really examine things that we have around us today, and I'm not going to preach on that, we were created by an orderly, divine creator in a magnificent way. You have to have more faith to believe in evolution than you do creation. I'm going to stop there because I said I wasn't going to preach, but you can read through this. But this is our last blank, D. Understand the mindset of the environment. Again, this is under preparation. You got to understand where people are at. And they've been deluded. They believe lies, folks. But God is truth, and his word is truth. Amen. That's what we have to bring out. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, truth will set you free. Nothing short of that will set you free. Now, when we come back, I don't like to do this, but next week we'll look at the practice. And we got quite a bit there to find. That's found in Philippians 1:27-30. So save your sheets, or we will use a tree if need be, and print some more for next week. But now I need to go to the conclusion. But not... Thank you. Conclusion. Well, there it is. Do you see it? The preaching, the compelling, the presenting of the gospel in our current environment, it can be accomplished. Well, you didn't get the last point, the third point today. But it can be accomplished in our day. Amen. It must be accomplished in our day. Amen. Have you responded in your efforts? Are you ready to preach the gospel? By the way, preaching doesn't mean you stand behind a lectern. It means you cry out with your heart to people. Amen. And tell them that God has met your needs. Have you repented of your deficiencies? I'm deficient. I tell you that all the time. And Jeff, the song, "Have you asked Jesus for help?" Those that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Or maybe some are here today that need to respond to the good news. I have no idea about everyone's hearts and souls, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and we need to receive him. We need to place our trust in him today. That could be too. So I'll close with this. What is the state of your environment today? And we'll leave it at that. That's some food for thought as we take on some food for the body. I'm done. Amen. Take your hymnals, or it's on the screen, 297. Let's stand if you're able. 297. You know, the old classic tale from the preachers all through the years is, you better get your eyes opened up. Well, I'm going to go along with that today, folks. I think there's a lot of people that are asleep at the wheel. But you know what? The trip is passing us by quickly. We need to let Jesus open our eyes that we can really see what's going on today. And I just ask you today, who's ready to step out with the gospel? Who are you going to approach this week? Who are you going to encourage? Even people that should be here in these seats that sometimes are you going to encourage them this week? Or are you going to let another week slip by? Well, folks, it's high time we get our eyes opened up, because what's going on today is real. And our current environment has a time and a purpose. But I know this, it's ripe for the picking. Because that's what people are looking for today. They're looking for genuine truth, genuineness. And we have everything to offer. If the Spirit moves your heart today, move toward the Lord. If you need salvation today, it's not religion. It's by acknowledging you're a sinner, calling on the Savior and believing, trusting that what He tells us in His Word, the good news, is indeed the only way that we can be brought into a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is this morning, verse 1, we're going to fold her up, but if there's needs, I and others here today can show you from Scripture. We can't save you, but we can surely support you in showing you the truths of God's Word. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for Thee. Ready, my God, my thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. May the Lord bless you the rest of this day and the days to come. Jason, would you close today in prayer, please?